What's up, Fockers? Welcome to Fockcast 117. Hopefully you guys are listening to this as you're driving down I-35 South to Kansas City to cheer on the Cyclones as they compete and hopefully win the Big 12 tournament. We're at Charterhouse Real Estate. Charter, how are you doing today?
Do you ever have deja vu?
Well, I do right now.
When Gray messes up the opening and we have to re-record, it doesn't have quite the same feel. But
I thought I did pretty good, though, the second time. I felt like I still brought it.
Hey, you're no Jared, but, you know, it's all good when it comes to recording.
I'm trying.
We do have a very special guest, and he was suited up today.
Yeah, I feel a little overdressed.
He looks incredibly sexy.
He makes us look like punks.
Yeah. Well, you're in your Iowa State gear because you're going down to Kansas City right after this with your wife. Your wife is here, too. She's not the special guest.
She is not allowed on the Fockcast.
Now, normally we talk about Julie Gray all the time because rumor has it Julie Gray doesn't listen to this. So we can say whatever the heck we want about her. But now she's sitting in the room.
Julie listens when I say something nice about her and I want to get some brownie points. I'm like, hey, let's listen to the Fockcast this week.
Yeah. Do you actually send her the link and say?
I may or may not have done that a couple times. Yeah.
So that voice you're hearing that people right now are going, who the hell is talking? That's Lawrence.
Hi.
Lawrence is here. Lawrence is I alluded to this on our Twitter account that Lawrence knows where the bodies are buried at Iowa State, which isn't technically probably true. I don't think there's any bodies up there. But Lawrence...
That you know of.
Lawrence, Lawrence, the friend of the program, his wife Brandy was on many moons ago. I'm not sure what episode that would have been.
Probably it was early.
Winning it was, or something like that. But no, Lawrence lives... We won't give out your address, but you live on the corner of Cessna and Beach, which is a great spot to park my car for Iowa State football games.
Do we need to go back and bleep this later?
And they have a hell of a parking lot for me that I can park my car in.
Why don't you tell everyone Lawrence's cell phone number while you're at it too?
My credit card number. It'll be perfect.
Do you have LifeLock, by the way?
I will now.
You might need it. But Lawrence is one of those guys that was. You're not a horn tutor, so I'm going to toot your horn for you. Oh. Lawrence is one of these guys in life. Gray, you might know people like this. That never, ever has to apply for a job. I'm right on this, aren't I? Like, Lawrence is just, like, one of the most connected people we know, and people come to Lawrence and say, come work for me. Like, he just doesn't apply. Like, you probably don't even have a resume. You don't even need one.
His face is I've resume. Been
lucky. Is it? Am I right? Am I right?
Yeah, I've been lucky. I've had some luck in my day and get hired by great people and put in good positions.
So, currently, Lawrence is the head of the Iowa State Daily. Mm-hmm. Up at Iowa State. And in addition to that, you have several more roles or more projects that you're doing just beyond that. But tell the people who the heck you are, man.
Yeah. I think you did a pretty good intro. I live by the stadium.
Right by the stadium. Yep.
Right by the stadium. I do have the privilege of working for the media group up there. You know, it's a great proving ground for journalists. You know, Gray wouldn't understand this. He's not a journalist.
Heck
but
no.
No, I am not.
You know, your own Chris Williams.
He is a celebrity, though.
Brent Bloom. He is a celebrity.
Yeah.
You know, all these guys are products of the Iowa State Daily. And if I'm not mistaken, Mark.
I would not be bragging about that.
Yeah. Mark Charter's actually a member of the family, too. He was a columnist or a reporter with Iowa State Daily.
Is this true, Charter?
This is true. I had a sports column for probably a couple years when I was a student up there, and I'm glad I did it because what I learned was that, one, I'm not liberal enough to be in a newsroom, and two, I like making money, and that's not a good way to do it. So I got enough. The heck out of there real quick.
True story.
Yeah. Yeah. Ask Williams. He's always bitching about how much money he doesn't make.
I thought he was rich.
I think he's doing just fine. He's not the type to talk about it.
He also works 20 hours a day. So, yeah.
Yeah, he does. He literally makes himself sick. But you, so what people would know, the connection that we've talked about on this is the Cyclone Emojis.
Yeah.
That was heavily your project.
Yes.
You were the brainchild, so to speak.
Yeah. We had a group of students who had brought that to the table, and they were really excited about doing it. For us, it made sense. It is a really relevant medium for college students, and so we helped them develop the project, and that was a neat opportunity, and partnered with our friends Fairway to bring that to market. It was a really, really cool project.
How did it go overall, do you think, just as far as going out into the market, not specific numbers of downloads, but was it well received?
Yeah, it was really well received. You know, this emoji space is interesting because it's continuing to evolve, mm-hmm. right? And Apple hasn't opened up the opportunity to make it native on your devices.
Yeah.
Right? So that's something that we're still kind of playing with, and we're going to continue to update the app as we have more opportunities. But overwhelmingly, it's been super successful. It's fun to look at the analytics and see the big spikes on game day and tournament weekend mm-hmm. and those sorts of things. So it's been really well received, and it's certainly surpassed our expectations from downloads.
Yeah.
That's been a great experience for us.
Now, you guys have done a lot of things that people that go to Iowa State games would know, but maybe they don't know who's actually doing it. So
sure.
Posters, and you've done some preseason
might...
books and some other things. I mean, what are the type of projects you guys are doing that listeners of the podcast have seen or will see in the future?
Yeah, one of them we did, this is probably a couple of years back now, though, we did paper cyclones, right?
Mm-hmm.
We did the paper dolls of all the players and Coach Hoiberg at the time, and that was a pretty neat project that we've worked on. We're becoming well known for our Hoops publication, kind of our mm-hmm. deep dive. I wouldn't call it a preseason publication, but it's something we generally drop at the beginning of December, about the time the big non-conference game plays, and we have a lot of deep content there that people find interesting. Our students work really, really hard to get to know these athletes, and we have a unique ability to get access that's a little bit different than your traditional media streams, because it is students talking to students. So sometimes we get a little bit of a unique viewpoint there, and that's a project that our kids are really, really proud of. We're looking at doing something like that for football this year,
yeah.
So that'll be the first time there. So we're excited to try and get something like that off the ground.
Get on board for this team going to a bowl game this year.
Just don't do what Tommy Burch does and talk about kickers and punters, right? Go find someone interesting that people want to hear about, like Jacob Park, and do that. Sorry, I had to make a
Hey, Tommy Burch, another product of the Iowa State Daily.
Jeez. Yeah, there's a lot of them. What is your take on, I'm curious about this, because I never really did. So when I was at the Daily, I mostly did columns. That's what I wanted to do. And at the same time, another guy, ironically, if you remember this name, that was doing them and was good, who went on to a career, was Paul Kix. I don't know if you remember Paul. Paul went to ESPN the magazine.
Yeah.
I have no idea where Paul is now, but he became a professional journalist.
Yep, and Paul was really good. Paul was there when I was there also. We must have overlapped at some point.
Yeah.
You know?
I was there about 10 years, so.
Yeah.
It's likely. How am I not a doctor?
I don't know. There's a lot of really neat people who started at the Daily and have gone on to be professional journalists across, the country and the world. We see, Christine Roman's on CNN. She's a former, I think she was an editor-in-chief of the Iowa State Daily. You've got local talent, national talent. We've certainly, I think we probably have a half dozen or more at ESPN right now.
And then I was going to say, too, so one question, and then, again, I'm going to toot the horn a little bit. You guys just won, essentially, College Newspaper of the Year.
Yeah, yes. We were the...
Which is pretty cool.
Boom.
Yeah. That's a big deal. We've been around for about 125 years.
That's a long time.
It's 126 years now.
Okay.
Last year, we won the Society of Professional Journalists National Newspaper of the Year.
And you stiffed our Vegas trip because of this award.
I did. Yep. I had a lot of travel associated with that. Had a lot of responsibilities of sort of maintaining our experience there, and wasn't able to go in Vegas.
Whatever. Sacrifices.
Priorities are a little backwards, in my opinion, but
it's all good. So here's a question for you. Do you ever run into this issue where you're trying to educate people that want to be journalists in that field? And at times, it is a real newspaper. You guys cover it that way. Mm-hmm. But do you ever have people that treat the reporters or the people trying to get the story as less than real reporters because they're students on stories that are more serious or, coaches getting fired or whatever? Do you ever run into obstacles with the fact that they are students trying to run a newspaper?
Yeah, definitely. I think in our industry, and some of that's our own fault, actually, right?
Yeah.
We haven't always done things the right way. And so our staff has spent a lot of time working to position themselves as professionals. And we eat what we kill here. We're not funded by the university. We're independently funded. We're a separate 501c3. We've got a $2 million budget, and we have to drive all of that ourselves. And
mm-hmm.
it's students are our salespeople, and students are our content creators. And so we do run into times, especially when it's people that maybe are unfamiliar with our business and they see it's a college student who's trying to cover them. They assume that it's for a class or something and maybe don't take it that seriously. At Iowa State, I think we have a lot of respect from faculty and staff, coaches. They're really good with our kids, but our kids have had to work really, really hard to put us in a position to find success that way.
Yeah, yeah. If anybody wants to search one of my best written stories, well, the story probably sucked. I don't remember that. But it was the most fun to go on. was, I think it might have been the first time, because it would have been newsworthy, maybe not, but Playboy came to campus.
Oh, yeah.
And I got assigned to go to the audition for to be in the mag.
So this it was all at, comes full circle with your obsession with the Playboy mansion.
Yeah, so it was at the Gateway Hotel. So I went out there and they were just in a room, the Gateway Hotel, and girls were coming in, and then they had another room that I wasn't allowed to go into. So I was interviewing the casting director basically. The girls would go in the other room, take the clothes off, get the picture taken, then come back out. Safe to say I was disappointed.
If you were a true journalist, you would have been able to get yourself in that other room.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. So I just sat out
would
there.
Would you ever send one of your reporters to cover that story there?
Hey, that's newsworthy. That's absolutely. That's relevant to our audience base. You're darn right we'd do that.
Absolutely.
You know, but it's interesting that you talk about some of the work that you've done at the Daily, because I had, in my position, what's nice is I have access to the archives.
Yeah.
Right? And I sent a note to one of my students and said, hey, you know, if you have a minute, look up Mark Charter. She comes back. She says, I couldn't find anything.
Yeah. Well, you're like, he's a liar.
Well, because you might not know this, but Mark used to go by Marcus Charter.
Just writing. That was the only time I changed it.
I'm calling you Marcus from now on.
Everything was listed under Marcus Charter. And she sent me an email. She said, well, there was a lot of content there. He was certainly employed here to some degree. But here's four articles that were some of the more ridiculous things that he wrote.
Right? Perfect.
So I brought those with me. I thought, you know, I don't have much opportunity
Let's go down memory lane, man. What do we got?
Let's see. January of 2001, Drake just not making the grade.
Okay.
Right? Do you remember that? I think there were a couple of Drake football players that were maybe booted.
Were the girls that they had like a 2.4 GPA?
There's an academic scandal here.
I really honestly don't remember that.
Remember?
Was it a column or a story?
I think it was a column.
And it wasn't, well, that would have been way before they did their D program, right?
Right.
That whole scandal.
Right.
Remember the big story with them before when...
I honestly don't recall that one.
Girls made high enough grades that they would have been eligible any other school, but Drake had higher standards.
Yeah.
And so they were ineligible. And that was a big story probably about that time. Was that what you wrote about?
That brings no bells to me whatsoever.
Dante Smith and Lamont Evans.
No, nothing.
Were booted, and
nothing.
Mark takes time in this to compare, you know, the lack of success at Drake in educating their athletes.
That had to be a column, then, right?
Well, maybe it was. It's a little bit tough to tell from the archives I'm looking at, but he compares to Larry Eustace and the amazing success Larry Eustace has in educating his.
I stand by that.
And he specifically talks about the success with Jamal Tinsley as a student before an athlete.
Man, what was his GPA?
That's a horrible take. Horrible take.
I wish I could defend it, but not even remembering the piece is hurting me a little bit.
All right, let's.
I mean, in my defense, this was 16 years ago at this point.
You tried to sell Jamal Tinsley as a student athlete.
I must have been going for tickets or something at the point. I'm not sure what that was about. All right, do another one. Let's see if I remember it.
Let's see. You've got one that was titled Time to Rhyme. And the opening says, I've always been of the opinion that when columnists recap past events, they are simply lacking imagination to write something original.
I think I do remember this.
Right? And it goes on to include a series of rhymes about the world September of 2001. You know, it was a really interesting read.
September of 2001. That was 9/11, right?
9/11, yep. And you touch on that in this poem. I would call this a poem, right? It rhymes.
Man, you're gonna have to email me this.
You know what? Maybe we could push this out on the podcast Twitter feed.
We can, absolutely.
Let's link it out there. And then the one that I thought was probably the most ridiculous that I had a tough time following was Lessons from Professor Crocodile Hunter.
And what was that one about?
You were talking about an exercise sports science class you took with one of your buddies.
Okay.
With Adam, I think.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And Andrew Keach.
Was it weightlifting?
Right. Yeah, I think it was weightlifting.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
And you it's a diatribe on, not being able to understand him because of his Australian accent and how you used to give him rides to class. I mean, this is really quality content you created. I can't figure out how it got published.
I've told people for years, by the way, that my memory blows. So, like, when you mention a name like that, it should be in my brain. It's not. It's not in there anywhere. So, No, none of those stick out as some of my finer work. I did an interview of Tim Dwight. I remember that one.
Yeah.
I called him on the phone. I did that one. I wrote one after 9/11 about I think how we shouldn't play the game, because they were talking about canceling the game right after that, the Iowa State Iowa game.
Yeah, they pushed it back to the end of the year.
It was right after that. But there were probably a few good ones. I remember it was always interesting because I had a couple of professors that would read the column that came out on maybe Thursday or Friday. Mm-hmm. And I would go into the class, and they'd be like, "Nice one today," or whatever. I'm like, "Oh, I got a fan."
You did have a couple of good ones then.
I got a fan. I had a few. They let me keep writing it, so it must have been, you know, decent enough at times.
What I'm hearing from Lawrence is you probably would not make the cut in today's Iowa State Daily.
not in today's environment.
No.
Yeah, I want to know why he
hack radio guy, right?
Why he searched for the crap versus like the good stuff, man.
This was she awesome said to me.
She said this was the good stuff.
I think she was right on point. This is pretty solid effort out of her.
I love it. I like that you have access to all that stuff, though, too. You can
you find the one where Bloom wrote the article where he made fun of Coleman? Remember Coleman when he fumbled the ball against Baylor?
Yes.
And Bloom says that Coleman then, like, walked up to him afterwards. I don't want to say threatened him, but it was like, read what you wrote about me.
Yeah.
And Coleman wasn't a small, well, you know, compared to Bloom, he was a giant. But
everybody is. Everybody is.
Speaking of Bloom, he's upset with you, Lawrence.
About what?
We offered both you and him, and we said first come, first serve, and you responded back right away, said, "I'm in."
Yeah.
He responded an hour later, said, "I'm in." I said, "Sorry, man. We got someone better."
Hey, Bloom, time is money, baby.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And that's interesting because I swear to God, I'm terrible at returning text messages. Mm-hmm. Right? I'm not.
I can attest to this.
I'm not very good at this. Yeah. So it just hit me at a time when I guess I was really ready to respond. And
well, let's be honest. You get an offer from the Fallcast, and you're on that right away.
Yeah. I'm in this bucket list, Abe.
It's become something. I think there was a little bit of jealousy of the fact that your wife had been on it and had not been on it.
Well, I mean, she was on episode, like, I mean, not that I counted, but like 18, I think. And, you know, I'm on 119. Is that what you said?
117.
Which, by the way, you know, Fallcast listeners, I mean, I have a bone to pick with Chris Williams. Is this not the laziest thing he could do is number these things?
Yeah.
Right? Nobody wants – I'm going back through, and I'm like, oh, they talked about something interesting, right? Oh, let me
how do I find
106
it?
And try to figure out if that's the right one, right? Give me some sort of descriptor. So
we do have recaps
back,
on there.
Right?
Very brief.
Very brief, right?
Yeah.
Talked about parenthood today. Well, excellent.
We have some people out there. Now, by name, I won't be able to do it, but I guarantee you we have some listeners out there that if we asked them to go back and try to categorize these, they would probably do that. There's some people that really, really like the podcast.
Your brother would probably be one of them.
My brother might be one of them. He's definitely listened to all of them. It took him a while, though. I don't think he listened for the first year.
No, he didn't. He got caught up. And he would text or tweet at us old episodes from a year ago, and
like
we'd have no idea what he's saying.
Episode 59. Nice. He's like, "Good take, Gray." Like on Twitter.
Nice. I'm like,
"What are you talking
about?
I
don't even remember saying that."
9 months later.
Kind of like how I don't remember anything I wrote at the Iowa State Daily.
Yeah,
like
apparently.
It quickly goes out. All right. Well, speaking of, so Gray's leaving after this. He's going down to Kansas City.
Yeah.
I'm going tomorrow. Iowa State will take care of business against Oklahoma State. And then we will face Kansas.
Is this our sports part of the Fallcast right here?
We're going to segue in, but if you're listening, you're like, oh, crap, now they're talking about sports. Boring. Don't worry, because we have a little bit of a challenge coming up. And this challenge was designed – Lawrence is a pop culture guy like I am, and I do think – I didn't really make these difficult, but I did make it hopefully with people in mind that are in the car that want to sing along to a little bit of stuff.
Oh,
we're going to have a theme song challenge coming up here where I'm going to play some theme songs, and you guys, we'll see how quickly. You don't have to say I got it because, again, most of them you'll know. But we're going to see if we know them. I think Gray will be stumped on a few.
We need a buzzer.
I think Lawrence will be maybe stumped on one or two. Maybe.
All right, let's see.
But I think he's going to know.
Makes me nervous.
But before we do that, Iowa State is playing a pretty big basketball game tomorrow. Yep. What's the take on Kansas City? How far will Iowa State go this weekend?
So, Lawrence, do you want to start this off? I want to hear your take. I want to hear your sports take.
Wow. You know, I think we're going to get it done against Oklahoma State. I think Kansas has set their sights on winning this tournament, and I think they're going to do that. I think it's going to be really tough for us to get past Kansas this year. We've done it twice in recent years, back-to-back Big 12 tourney champs. I'm not sure we have enough gas in the tank to compete with Kansas this year. I think they've circled this on their calendar a year ago and said this isn't going to happen again. So I think we're going to make it past Oklahoma State. I think we're going to win, you know, probably about 6 or 8 points.
Now, unfortunately, the news just came out a little bit ago that Josh Jackson for Kansas is suspended for game one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is he?
But not game two. Unfortunately, right. We're going to meet him. So game one, they don't need him. That's a nothing suspension. Yep. Doesn't matter.
Yep.
Apparently having to do with parking tickets in court. Something to that effect.
I would have been suspended in college as well. I had a lot of parking tickets.
Yeah, so we will most likely face him.
My wife is glaring at me
in
right
round
now.
Two. I still
get parking tickets.
Gray, how many times in a row have we beat Oklahoma State? Is it eight or nine?
It's a lot. I can look it up.
And most of those, a lot of those have been close games. So there's no way that I believe we go down there and blow them out. But do we win again is the question.
Yeah, a lot of them are close. Overtime games. I don't know. I went back and thought about this. Even though Iowa State won two of the last 3 years back-to-back, they've never actually played very well in the opening game. Mm-hmm. Last year they played pretty bad against Oklahoma. Niang was phenomenal, but so they ended up making it closer.
The year before that, we had to come back in every single
Texas,
game.
Yeah.
Every game.
In every game. In the Texas game, they had no business winning, but they won it. The year before, they played okay against Kansas State, won that game. But, I mean, you go back, McDermott never won there. And Hoiberg lost his first 2 years. And then when he finally did win against Oklahoma, I think Iowa State was down 12-13 in the second half. Mm-hmm. So they traditionally get off to these really slow starts down there, which is kind of worrisome. I'm going to pick Oklahoma State to win just because I think I like a matchup against them. Their guards are good, and I think Evans brings out the best in Monte Morris. But we're pretty similar teams, and we've already beat them twice. And I know Bloom – did you see Bloom's tweet the other day?
Yeah.
Where – teams that have won the first two still have a 74% chance of winning the third game. If you go back in history, they've won 74% of the time. But to me, you look at that. What if Kansas is playing TCU for the third time?
Yeah.
Like that kind of that
it
skews it
that.
A little bit. Yeah. I think it's more of a 50-50 game, and I think if Iowa State beats Oklahoma State, this is where I differ from you. I think they're going to beat Kansas. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. I have no reason for it. I just think they do, but I think they're going to lose.
There's no question that Iowa State has the home court advantage tomorrow, but I guess the one reason that you worry a little bit about the streak is that streaks like that do end at some point. They're not going to beat Oklahoma State 20 games in a row, so somewhere between now and then they're losing, and it could be. Selfishly, I want them to win. I think the whole weekend and environment down there is much better when Iowa State is in it.
Agreed.
Much better. Because you got a lot of people that bail and head back to Ames or whatever once Iowa State is lost. I think the city of Kansas City is rooting for Iowa State to win that game. I have no doubt about that at all.
For sure.
So they want, you know, and unfortunately Iowa State and Kansas will meet in round two. There's not going to be a championship game with those guys. But if Iowa State goes to the championship game, Kansas City wins. If Kansas goes, Kansas City wins. So they just want one of those teams in the championship game. But the perfect scenario was Iowa State-Kansas in the championship game, which happened.
2 years ago?
2 years ago, I believe.
Iowa State's won nine times in a row against Oklahoma State.
Which is hard to believe, because Oklahoma State has not been horrible.
No, I mean, a couple of those years is when they had Marcus Smart.
Yeah, we got their number. We definitely have their number. So, Horn says they win. I say they win. Gray says they lose.
Pick your championship winner.
You know what? Honestly, it's just really tough to bet against Kansas. Mm-hmm. They won the division by, what, three? Conference by three games?
Four games.
You know, is Kansas clearly the best team in the Big 12? Yeah, they are. Yep. I mean, Kansas, nobody wins it easily, but Kansas could win the national title. I have no doubt about that at all. There's a few teams. Nova can do it again because of experience. North Carolina's talented. Zag, I don't think their history says they're going to lose somewhere along the way. But I wouldn't be surprised at all if Kansas won the national title.
Yeah, and I would agree with you. Like I said before, I think Kansas is going to do it this year. With Oklahoma State, you know, I think it's one of those things where if we can keep Phil Forte in check, we're going to be fine.
Yeah.
Right? He's going to be the difference maker, in my opinion. If he lights it up, man, that's where we're going to get into
some trouble. Does it bother you when we get beat on by a pesky white guy?
Especially one that's been there for 10 years.
Does it make you proud?
Oh,
right?
Don't you hate scrappy basketball players? He's scrappy. Dude can shoot.
Did you know he actually played with Big Country Reeves? He's been there that long. True story. What?
Shut up. Like, Reeves was there when I was like 13, man.
It seems like he's been there forever, though. But
Big Country.
He is big because Juwan Evans, he was unreal in Hilton. He can't play that well again. Well, I say that. He might. But he's really good. But, I mean, he scored 29 points. Iowa State should have won that game by 10 in Hilton if Evans doesn't just go completely off at the end of that game. So maybe I'm just being a little bit of a negative Nancy. I probably am.
Let me test you guys with old Big 8 trivia here, because Big Country reminded me of seeing basketball players when you're younger and how big they are and stuff. I remember growing up at Ames seeing a couple of really famous at the time Oklahoma basketball players in Wendy's. Like, they were in town for a game, and they went to Wendy's either before or after the game.
Hollis Price?
No, think way back. What two players would I have seen that were big names for Oklahoma?
Eduardo Nájera.
No, this was in the 80s.
Nice pull.
This was in the 80s. Who would it have been? Two guys that you'll recognize the name for sure.
Gosh.
Lawrence, you got anybody?
They're big guy. They're power forward. My gosh. It's going to drive me crazy.
What, Tony Crocker?
No.
I'm a South Dakota kid, so I didn't grow up around Iowa State basketball until I got here.
One was Stacey King.
Stacey King, yep.
Who was the other one? I think he was their point guard. He's definitely a short guy. I don't know if he was point guard, but he was a guard.
No, I don't know.
Mookie Blaylock. Whoa. You remember Mookie?
Mookie Blaylock. Nice. Yeah.
Those guys were big at the time, man. Yeah. Yeah, I think Big 8 fans would recognize both those names.
Mookie Blaylock. Played for the Hawks. Atlanta.
You do have to love the name Mookie. Yeah, two famous Mookies.
What do you think he's doing these days?
Mookie Blaylock, I keep in touch with him a little bit. I have no idea what Mookie Blaylock's doing.
I Google him and it says
I'm pen pals. Mookie still believes in the handwritten letter.
one quick Google search. Mookie Blaylock's downward spiral and the family he dragged.
Oh, man. Mookie's not doing well.
Does not sound good.
While you're at it, what is
Mookie? He leaves that off the pen pal letters he writes to me. I didn't know any of this.
What's Mookie Wilson up to while we're on the subject of Mookie's? Is Mookie a coach somewhere?
Who?
Mookie Wilson?
Who?
Mets, right?
Mets.
Mets. Yeah.
I know Mookie Betts.
Famous for what? Mookie Wilson was famous for what play? He hit the ball.
Bill Buckner.
He hit the ball that went through Buckner's legs.
Yeah,
that's where you would know that name from.
Yeah.
Who scored on that play?
What was that, the bottom of the 10th
See, you were
inning,
like 15 right? back then.
So this would have been the bottom of the 10th
No, I was not. That was 86. I was 8.
Yes.
I stand by what I said.
I was 8. Do you know who scored? Ray Knight. Remember Ray Knight going nuts as he crossed the plate? Who then became an ESPN analyst later in his career after becoming a manager.
How does his real estate stuff stay in his head when he's got this much random knowledge?
He has a lot of random stuff in his head.
It's because I remember stuff like Mookie Blaylock and Stacey King, but I forget the columns.
I was going to say, I'm now starting to think he knows exactly what he wrote. He's just embarrassed by it.
Steel trap up
I
here,
went,
right?
So I did, I, this is, it's not a literal thing, but it feels this way. Whenever I would be in an apartment or have an old phone number or something like that, when I got rid of something, I would do brain flush. Like, I'm not going to need it again, and I'd clear it.
No kidding.
Not good. I don't remember my old phone numbers, my old addresses. I remember where I grew up because I lived there for so long. I remember our phone number, because it was 20-plus years of the same stuff.
Yep.
But the temporary stuff, like the addresses you lived on or lived at Campus Town and all that, I'm horrible with that stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
See, for some reason, that's the stuff that sticks with me. I know every phone number for every one of my childhood friends. I could call their houses in Mitchell, South Dakota right now.
I could too.
No question.
I could too.
So do you know friends now? Because here's the thing. I've got a lot of good friends like in this text group that I text. I don't know any of your numbers because you're programmed in my phone. I don't ever dial them.
Yeah, and that's a good point. I know my wife's number.
Yeah.
Right? I know my parents' numbers. And I know one buddy's phone number. The only phone number I remember, big Fawcast fan, Scott Cundall.
Okay.
Right?
Scotty.
Scotty. You know Scotty,
Oh,
right?
yeah, real. Great
and
guy.
I say his number to prove it, but I know his number because he was the first friend of mine to get a cell phone in college, right? He went down to the wireless store.
Yeah.
Was it like a Zach Morris cell phone?
Yeah, oh, it was huge, right? It was one of those
gigantic
brick phones. I think they had Snake on it, and he'd walk around the fraternity house playing Snake.
And everyone was so jealous, weren't they?
Hey, dude, people would start calling him Snake. It was crazy.
Snake.
Right? You should call him Snake next time you're older. It was good. But I know his number because he's never changed it.
He's had the same number
for
like 20 years?
Yeah. I mean, it's wild, right?
How many numbers have you had since you got cell phone numbers?
I'll bet I've had 11.
What?
Yeah, I mean, because in my businesses, my numbers generally stay with the business that I'm in, right? Business development stuff. But what's interesting is I had a number, and I was determined to hold on to it, right? And I took a 10-day fishing trip up to Canada, and I was moving from one job into my current job, right? It was a cool transition. Thought I'd go fishing Canada with it. I came back down, and there was some snafu about switching my number, and so the number got taken away, right? And my phone didn't work. So I called this guy in, I think, Cedar Rapids or Cedar Falls, who got my number. And I said, hey, you got my number. I've been out of the country for 10 days. I'm wondering if maybe we could meet up at a store. I'll come there and we can switch it back, right? I don't think you're going to want this number.
Yeah.
Right? And he says, well, why would I do that? And I said, well, you know, like I know a lot of people. A lot of people have this number. I've had it for 5 or 6 years. It's like the longest number I've ever had. And he was really incredibly rude, right? And I said, well, how about I give you $100?
Probably a Hawk fan.
I'll give you
$100.
I imagine.
Yeah, he's got to be a Hawk fan.
Of course he was, right?
Of course.
So he was totally rude and didn't want $100. I said, fine, right? So what happens is I've got this tight knit group of high school friends. Kundal's one of them, right? That I grew up with. We're going to Vail in another week.
Yeah.
Going skiing, but they started texting this guy, right? All hours of the day, right? And he'll be like,
give the number.
And they'll say something. He'll say, who is this? And he's like, Batman. You know, somebody who's fine. You know, your worst nightmare. It's great, right? So to this day, if you text my old number.
Why don't you give that out over the Fawcast right now? let's get the Fawkers on that.
I feel like I'd probably be jailed for that. But, you know, I got a Facebook message from him just a couple of months ago. And he said, hey, could you please tell everybody you know to stop calling me? Right.
And you warned him.
Like, hey, man, I tried. This is not my problem anymore.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So. Step off. This that story reminds me of about a month ago. I started getting a few text messages. Like, one of those text messages, like, who is this? You haven't texted them anything, right?
Yeah.
It's like, who is this? And your response is like, who is this? You know? And what was weird about it is the text message was coming from a number that I have programmed in my phone. But I knew it wasn't that person because that person's in prison. Literally. Oh. And I don't think that
like
she had her cell
X.
phone in prison. So, yeah. So, the number now belongs to somebody else.
Somebody.
Well, yeah. I use the term employee loosely. It was someone that did some work for me that happened to steal from somebody else that they worked for. And she went up the river for a few years.
I mean, Orange is the New Black. They've got cell phones in there all the time, right?
I don't think she would have her cell phone, though, with the actual number. But maybe someone smuggled it in. All right. Hey, are you guys ready for this?
Yeah, I'm a little nervous, man.
Do we need to hit, before we do this, we need to hit anything else from Kansas City? Like, how many beers are you going to actually drink down there? Two? Three? Are you going to go crazy?
That's a good question.
Lawrence, are you going down?
I'm not going down.
Have you ever been down?
Been down a few times.
Have you?
Yep. Okay. Not going to make it this year. I've got the Vail trip pending, and that's probably a
two
bad,
kids and a pregnant wife,
bad,
too.
Bad looking.
Why are we even asking about Kansas City? We should be asking him about October. I mean, yeah, he's got a baby coming in May.
October 27th?
You know, it's 21st, right in there. 21st. You know, you got a valid excuse. You got a new bundle of joy around the house. I get it. But it's probably not good enough excuse to just totally get you out of the trip.
The kid would be 5 months old by then.
Yeah.
So I think when I went out, Olivia was only a month old when I left for Vegas.
Ooh, not even. Look at those daggers you're
getting. She's still here. She still loves me.
Wow.
She would not recommend it. Yeah.
Let's put odds on this. We like to talk about gambling around here. What are the odds we're going to see you for the good times in October?
Probably not very good.
Not very, like 10%?
Yeah, I'm thinking like 4%.
What about 2018? Well, can we put odds on that?
You know what? I might. Yeah, I'd put some odds on 2018.
Okay.
You know, the world's a little more stable for us at that point.
Yeah. I know. You're a hard guy to pin down, but, you know, busy guy. He actually has a real job, unlike most of us.
Yeah.
We just kind of go wherever we want. All right. Here's what we're going to do. I've got a bunch of I'm not going to play all the songs. I'm going to play a little bit. And again, you're going to know most of these. This is more for the people that are listening to this. I want them to take a stroll down memory lane. If you're around my age, if you're in your 30s, or your 40s, you're going to know a lot of these. If you're one of those guys that's listening, it's like, you want the stuff from the 60s and the 70s, you're going to be a little bit disappointed. And there's some that are probably in the 90s as well. We're going to test Lawrence and see if he knows most of these. Gray, if you know them, I'll believe you. You can say that you know them.
Okay.
So in order to do this, I'm going to play it off my computer. So we're going to hope for good things here. Can you guys still hear me?
Yes.
Awesome.
Gotcha.
All right, here we go with song number one.
I'm nervous.
Yeah, I kind of am too.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh.
Give me that smile.
Don't waste another minute on your crying.
Is it the greatest theme song of all time? It's up there, isn't it?
It's good. You know, that's pretty rarified air that we're talking about.
So that song, by the way,
it just gives me a warm fuzzy inside.
Enhanced that song. So that was actually like season two and three. Season one, they just had the male voice.
Yeah.
They added that female. She really punched up the vocals on that thing.
Alan Thicke, I think he wanted that done.
He requested it specifically?
I believe we'll have to look into that. I think there was he had a specific opinion about that song.
Now let me ask you this one trivia question. As we listen to these, I might have a few trivia questions that pop into my head. So,
Julie, do you know what that Julie does not know?
Oh my God.
Really?
Wow.
Kirk Cameron?
Did you not have a TV?
Candace Cameron Burr?
No, it was not on cable. That was network TV. Yeah. That was Growing Pains.
Yeah.
Growing Pains.
I said Candace Cameron.
Was the name, Lawrence, of Carol's girlfriend that died because he was drinking and driving?
Pull the microphone a little bit. Yeah, ooh, there you go.
There
yeah.
you go.
Yeah.
Man, I don't think I know that.
Do you remember the character, like the person who played him?
I mean, it was a serious episode.
Yeah, it was their serious. It was like
like Mothers Against Drunk Driving stuff.
Oh, it was bad.
Big deal.
His name is Sandy, and he's played by Matthew Perry.
Oh, really?
Absolutely.
Oh, I did not know that.
Sandy died, and Carol was very upset about it.
Nice.
All right, here we go. Next one coming up.
Yeah. Larry and Balky, man. I mean, this is one of the best of all times.
Hang on. Keep playing it.
Nothing to rearrange.
I don't know.
That's all you get, Gray.
Oh,
should
on,
I be embarrassed?
Gray.
This
is great.
I should be embarrassed.
Larry and Balky?
Yeah, if the character names don't give it to you, you're not gonna get it.
What's the what is it?
Perfect Strangers.
Okay. Yep. Nope. Never saw it.
Oh, fantastic.
All right, Gray's gonna get this one. This is it's not a great song, but it's one of the more memorable ones of all time. You should get this within one note. Are you ready?
Ready.
Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, baby. This guy's blown up, hasn't he?
Yes, he has. Julie doesn't know this one either. No, she does know. Good job.
Julie got
I'm proud of Julie on that
Doogie
one.
Doogie Howser, MD, right?
Okay, Doogie Howser. That was easy.
Remember his little All buddy? Right. What was his little buddy's name? Vinny?
Vinny.
Right?
Yeah, Vinny.
Climb through the window.
All right, here you go. This one again. This one you'll nail immediately. Julie will know this one as well. I'm going to make a guarantee on this one. Here we go.
Never watch a show, but I know what it is. You don't know? Not a 2-0, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Never watched it, though. Never watched it.
Julie's being so disappointed right now.
Really? How do you not know that?
How do you not know that?
Guys, this is what I married.
That was a staple.
This is what I married to, guys. She's smart, too. She's an attorney. Like, she's not dumb. I'm just...
All right, here's one that Lawrence is going to know and Gray's not going to know.
All right.
I'm going to make a prediction right now. All right, here we go.
Yep, got it.
The Love Boat.
Give Gray a second.
I have no idea.
You get there. I bet we've been together for
a million years. And I bet we look of confusion on Gray's face.
Yes. I have no clue, and honestly...
All right, Elsie, what do you got?
Mary Tyler Moore.
No, you're wrong.
No.
Oh, sorry, I yelled at you.
Get the microphone.
Oh, no.
Jeez.
I'll give you the character name. Alex P. Keaton.
Oh, Family Ties.
Family Ties.
Lawrence, bad decision.
Family Ties.
So disappointed in you right now.
I'm disappointed in myself.
All right, here's one that everybody in the world knows, even if you didn't watch it. Here's another memorable song. The theme would be, it's a medical show.
George Clooney.
I'm guessing the ER because you said medical show. If you wouldn't have said medical show, I would not have known. I really wouldn't have.
That is definitely ER. Yep. Here's one of my favorite, not only how one many, of my favorite shows, but one of my favorite theme songs.
How many medical shows can they do? If you really think about it.
They never run out. People are fascinated by it.
Have you guys seen that whole Chicago Fire, Chicago?
Yeah.
Med,
yep.
Right?
Yeah. All right. This one, Lawrence will know immediately. Gray, I don't think you watched this one. We'll find out.
Yes.
Tony Danza. Come on, baby.
Mr.
The blue van curving down the street.
I used to watch this.
Paul Foliage. Judith Light.
He was like the nanny for the house. Yeah. Mr. Boss? What was this called? What was the show called?
You're mixing up your great shows, man.
He's thinking Mr. Belvedere.
Yes. No.
I used to watch this show. That's what drives me crazy.
The daughter's hot, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. What is it?
Who's the boss?
Who's the boss? Gosh dang it.
Brand New Life, yeah, Around the Bend. Who's the boss? That's a great one.
That was a good show.
Let's do a cartoon. Do you recognize this? Now, if you didn't have premium movie channels, you didn't grow up with this, all right? So I'm not sure if you guys will get this or not, but this one's a part of my childhood.
Fraggle Rock, baby.
A quick one.
No question. Doozers.
Great, you know Fraggle Rock.
Nope. Never heard of this before. Never even heard of the...
Oh, it's so great. The gourds, the trash heap.
How old are you guys?
Down to Fraggle Rock. Fraggle Rock was a Jim Henson Muppet
HBO,
type.
HBO, baby. That was good.
Really?
Yep.
I'll take your word for it.
All right, this one was popular on Friday nights. You would
TGIF.
Know this one. TGIF, here we go. Dun, 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 dun. Gray's bobbing along. Does he know it?
Family Matters.
This you got it. Age. Newspaper page. Carl Winslow.
What Urkel? Famous movie did Carl Winslow play another cop?
Die Hard.
There you go. Die Hard. Is he it has a, the famous is, Twinkie scene.
Is it a Christmas movie?
It's definitely a Christmas movie.
Absolutely.
That's no question. No question.
This one is probably one of the most popular theme songs of all time. I think a lot of people like this one.
Yep.
Happened to be, you know it's great, right?
Oh yeah. I'm not saying it because I just want to hear it.
It takes me so far back.
Ugh. Have you watched the newer ones on Netflix?
I gave it a roll, man. That's tough.
It was. We watched what, six of them or so with the kids? And Full House, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely Full House on that one.
Just a great show.
Definitely Full House on that one.
Really.
If you really think about it, it's pretty
classic.
Pretty weird. You know, you got three grown dudes living together.
Uncle Jesse. Hey, man, you do what you got to do when times are tough.
I guess. If any of you called me and been like, hey, I need you to move in with me, you know, I'd be like, sorry.
I'd be calling Julie. She'd make sure the sheets were washed. Right?
Here's a couple real quick that aren't their own theme song, but they're pop songs. What shows were these for?
Wonder Years,
man. Such a good
show.
So
good. Is it me or does everybody feel like they were Kevin in Wonder Years?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
That was an easy one. Here's an even...
That's on Netflix, by the way, and every now and then I'll throw on an episode.
Here's an even easier one for you.
Friends, yeah.
You just jumped like 20 years on that, didn't you? From Wonder Years to Friends? I mean, that's
I did. That was a big jump. Here's the most recent one that I found. And again, pop song. It's not a theme song at all, but do you get it right away? Did you watch this one?
OC?
The OC.
Wow. Never watched it.
Me
I just,
neither. I wasn't a fan.
Yeah, I never watched it.
Misha Barton
it,
or
it tried.
Right?
It Is tried that... to be like the new 90210. I don't think it was very good.
It was popular, though. People love the OC.
Yeah.
All right. So you guys can chime in if I missed any great ones. Here's the greatest one of all time. I'm going to let this one play for just
How
little bit.
How many times has he said that, by the way?
A lot of them are great. This is the greatest.
The.
This okay. is recognized this is, as the greatest
the,
theme song.
I, you this know, is the you Brett Favre of theme songs.
You know it right away, and this reminds me of you're going to be doing a lot of this weekend.
Hey, don't
you're
let me
be,
down here.
You're going to be drinking with your friends. Here you go.
Cheers. Making your way in the world today takes everything. Would you have known that one, Julie? You didn't know it.
Are you guys in agreement? Is this one of the greatest of all time?
Yeah, second verse is solid on this
one. Yeah, this is good.
Get ready to sing it.
I will not. I will not.
You're
sing.
The singer in the house. Where everybody knows your name.
Makes you happy. It's a great theme song.
So good.
It is good.
Great. It's good.
It's good. So are we. Growing Pains isn't as good as is that what
Growing
you're saying?
Pains is right up there. So yeah, what is your favorite? Do you guys have one that jumps out at you as being
Wonder Years,
super awesome?
Growing Pains. That one's Cheers is good. Those are three that kind of always just stick out to me.
Yeah, man, I think that I think Mr. Belvedere is almost as good as you get. That's okay. Pretty solid. I think Baywatch from I mean, they remixed a little bit. Baywatch is pretty solid.
Baywatch got you pumped with like the.
Oh yeah, no problem. What about let's pull that up?
What about Walker Texas Ranger?
Never saw it. Never saw it. Was it twangy?
In the eyes of a ranger are upon you. Come on.
Was that a favorite of yours in the Gray household?
Heck yeah, man.
Walker Texas Ranger.
You never watched Walker Texas Ranger? You're probably more of a Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman kind of guy.
I do know Jane Seymour played Dr. Quinn, but Every Kiss Begins with K.
Nice. The Open Heart Collection.
Yeah, I don't think Where Love Always Finds Its Way In or whatever they had. Do you have it pulled up there?
I'm pulling it up right now.
Which one are we talking about?
Stupid ads.
Oh, Baywatch. Oh, yeah. That does get you a little pumped, dude.
There's a Baywatch movie coming out.
There you
go. With The Rock and Zac Efron.
It actually looks really funny.
It does look funny. It doesn't look like the I don't remember the show ever being funny, was it?
Not really.
No.
Baywatch came out at a time where I was way into Baywatch because the swimsuits. Oh, that's a good song.
Because the storylines
are fantastic.
Just good quality writing. You know what? You're right.
That is for the articles.
yeah.
You're right. That is underrated right there. That's a solid one. I would never have thought Baywatch.
Anything with the Hoff, man, can't go wrong.
Don't you worry. I don't even know the lyrics to that. I forgot one. I'm not going to play it. Three's Company. That's a famous theme song, too. Yeah.
I will tell you, you know, we can't leave people hanging on this, though. Hold on.
All right. He found something.
We mentioned it, right?
Did we? Listen to the crackle.
Yeah.
That's Mr. Belvedere.
Never heard it.
You like this song?
Oh, so good.
Really? For those that don't remember Mr. Belvedere, I couldn't tell you the actor's name, but Bob Uecker was in it.
He was.
He was the dad.
You know, my dad kind of looked like Mr. Belvedere.
Really?
Yeah.
He was a portly fellow with a mustache?
He was a big fella, right? And he had a mustache as long as I've known him. White mustache today.
What's cool about theme songs is your average theme song, I'm looking at these, is like just about a minute. Minute three, minute 10. They get you hooked quick, though.
Yeah.
That opening, man. You just... To think about, like, you can hear one note, two notes, three notes, and know immediately what it is.
TV just doesn't have that today.
Is Saved by the Bell up there?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because Saved by the Bell, though, it's not a note. It's the bell sound. It starts with the bell going off.
Yep.
You know? But anybody that's my age that watched TV on a regular basis would know that entire theme song.
Oh, yeah.
You know the lyrics. I know Lawrence knows the lyrics, and not only that, but knows who's in it, the actor's name.
I do.
And everybody.
I've been known to win some Saved by the Bell trivia on the radio in my day. Yep.
Fresh Prince would be another one where people know the words on that one a lot.
You bet.
It helps that was a really popular song.
Teaching our son that song.
Are you?
Yeah.
That'll serve him well in life. That will definitely serve him well.
If he can rap the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air theme song and do the worm, we're set.
Oh,
that's A-plus parenting, Julie. What do you think?
He'll be cool at school for years.
So cool.
Well, Lawrence,
I still pull that out.
Lawrence, I think you passed because I think you did know all of them. Did you not?
I missed one.
I missed the one. I missed Family Ties.
You said Mary Tyler Moore show.
I did.
I don't blame you. The Family Ties was probably the hardest one in there because it was a real song that played on the radio, but people don't always associate with that show.
We doing a meetup tomorrow, Charter?
It'd have to be after the game.
It'd have to be.
Buying drinks for the fuckers out there?
We might buy a couple drinks.
We might.
Where's a good place to meet out there that's not super, super crowded?
You don't want to do Hotel Phillips again?
We could. What is that, like $4 away?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Close enough. Because anywhere else by the Power and Light District's packed.
Let's put it this way. Let's do this. If you are in Kansas City and want to meet up for some drinks, check your Twitter after the game. Because we'll see what's going on, and
If Iowa State loses,
we're probably not in quite as good a mood. But
if they win, it's party time.
Probably.
But I got to come back later on after that. So.
Well, you just don't get annihilated.
Julie can drive me home, right?
That's a
nice look I got right there.
Should we? This is the first
time. You're going to Mexico, and you want me to drive back? Look.
Why do you got to bring that up right now? Why do you got to do that? Come on, man.
Before we sign off, should we give Julie the headset? Does she need to say anything?
I think she'd want to.
Nothing.
She, she says it messed up her hair.
Do you want to say
she curled it today?
Better looking, how much better? You know, I did a much better job than Brent Bloom would have done.
Both of those are factual statements.
There's no question.
The only thing Bloom would have brought to the table today that you didn't is when we were trying to figure out how many games in a row we beat Oklahoma State. He would have known that right away.
Oh, he would have had a significantly better athletic department take, you know, the team take. He'd way better.
We don't even need him on. I can just do the impersonation. Guys, today I'm going to break down the Big 12 officiating and how that's going to affect the tournament this weekend.
That is so mean. That is mean.
Wow. I love Bloom.
I do, too. That was harsh, man.
I love Bloom.
Jeez.
This is all in jest, man.
If I had cut to the bone. If I had glasses, I would have pushed him up. Guys, I'm
He doesn't even wear glasses.
No.
He doesn't even have glasses.
I know, but anybody that breaks down officiating, you got to make him a dork, right? That's the way the impression works.
You sound like a cartoon character.
I agree with
like
you there.
Brainy Smurf over
No,
there.
It sounded a little bit like the scientist on The Simpsons. Doesn't he sound like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen The Simpsons in years, but all right, Bloom, I apologize. You're still allowed on the podcast if we can ever get you on this thing.
Text back fast, Bloom.
Text back faster next week. Hopefully you listen to the whole thing. Then he got to hear his shout-out at the end
there
that he won't appreciate. It's
one,
all good.
One hell of a journalist, that Brent Bloom.
All right, if you're a Fokker, yeah, get on Twitter tomorrow. After the game, before meeting up, we'll put it on there.
Put it on there. Sounds good. Yeah. Lawrence, thanks for coming, man.
Hey, thanks, man. This was fun.
It was fun. You were a lot better than Brandy. Hey. Brandy was kind of a stick in the mud.
Hey, man, she was early on. She was nervous, I'll bet.
By the way, next season, no need to walk a mile to the stadium. If you ever need some grass to park on, corner of Cessna and Beach.
Lawrence's house. You are a horrible friend.
Lawrence's house.
It's awful.
But it's not white anymore. You just painted it, right?
We painted it,
What color is it?
It's gray
it's
now.
It's gray. You know, on the corner.
Have you seen the flower beds he made in front of his windows?
Lawrence is one of those guys that does make other husbands look really bad.
Horrible.
Really bad. Like, he makes my wife breakfast, and I've never made my wife breakfast.
I do that. That's bad.
Can't cook. I don't know how to cook anything.
Do you know how easy it is to make eggs?
I can make eggs. That's not really cooking.
Throw them on like a bagel and put cheese on it.
What did you make? What did you make when we went skiing?
Eggs Benedict.
Eggs Benedict.
Yes.
You are an Eggs Benedict guy.
I am, man.
Remember that in Vegas. Yeah,
that's my wife's favorite breakfast. So
When I talk about Lawrence, dude, my wife just lights up.
I don't think Julie would not like Eggs Benedict. No, you wouldn't like
little
it.
Little dice. What's a poached egg?
Poached egg. You went there. Yeah.
Lawrence, by the way, we still have the new house has an 8-burner set up.
Yeah,
and you're more than invited to come cook breakfast for the whole family, dude.
I need to do that.
Well, we'll even buy the food. We'll buy the food.
I'm going to get right on
that. Show up.
You cook it.
We'll even let you eat some of it. He'll tweet it out
and tell everybody he hired a personal chef now.
My wife will watch you intently cook for her. It'll be great. She can't get enough of Lawrence. It's all good.
Katie's great. She's good stuff, man.
It's a little sad, but
I don't know how she puts up with you, but
she stares at Lane when he's shirtless in the yard. She
wants to be married to Lawrence.
She dreams about Lawrence.
Yeah. John Olsen takes her to movies.
Yeah, true. Yes, that's
I'm just
truth
I'm an
right
afterthought
there.
At this
am
point.
Am I in there at all?
You're mean
am
to
I
the
even
end,
am
man.
I even part of this equation or no?
She told so occasionally we like who are the Julie should plug her ears here. Who are the friends that you would do type conversation, right? Yeah. Hypothetically, you've been on that list. She would do you.
I feel good about that.
You're a tall, attractive
good for
guy.
You.
I could admit that.
You know,
you got a lot going for you.
Well, now that I'm on the list,
you
I feel
tall,
my confidence
fine,
went from
sexy man.
Here. Oh,
yep.
Thanks, guys.
Yep, right.
Thanks. I feel really good.
Yeah. Don't be mad at my wife, Julie. Like, not, you know, just
don't make things awkward now.
You know, she just likes what she likes.
It's, I wish my wife felt the same way as your wife does. You know.
Wow.
At least you know you got a backup now,
keep
so
digging,
it's all
man.
Good.
Keep
all right.
Digging.
We should go before I get myself in more trouble.
All right.
Sounds good.
Go Clones.